So John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. So John chapter 15, starting at verse number 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Father, again, we thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, allowing us to be gathered together. I pray, Father, you would bless our time. Lord, we do ask that you would speak to our hearts, guiding us according to your will. Father, we do ask that you would pour out a blessing today. Father, we do thank you that the fullness of joy is in your presence. That, Father, we do get encouragement seeing one another. We get encouragement as a body of believers having you in the midst of us, because where two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We thank you, Father, that we have gathered in the name of Jesus Christ because we are your children. We have a desire to hear from heaven. We have, Lord, a desire to be led by you. And, Father, for our lives to be changed more into the image of Jesus Christ, which was predestined, Lord, by you, your plan to change our lives and to help the fruit of the Spirit to bear out more in our life, to help us to have more joy, to have more peace, more patience in our life as we wait for you, Lord, as we wait for the blessed hope, and as we wait for you to work certain details out in our life. Father, we ask that you would bless the children in Junior Church, Lord, as always, open up their hearts and understanding to the Bible lessons, helping them to see that Jesus is the greatest friend they can have, and he will never do them wrong. He will always be there for them. Father, we ask that you would just bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Where is your strength this morning? What is your strength derived from? I've said it before, but it's a good saying that hope is only as strong as the source, and the source needs to be Jesus Christ. We have weaknesses in our life that we need the strength of the Lord. Paul had a weakness in his life, and he learned by Jesus Christ, who told him that in his strength the Lord would be strong for him. He had that thorn in the flesh, and the Lord used that thorn to strengthen his life. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God." Sometimes we frustrate the grace of God in our life because we're not relying 100% on God. We're not gathering our strength from the Lord. We're not allowing the Lord to do the work in us and through us. Many times we're trying to do it on our own because we know what to do. We've heard what to do. We see what the Bible tells us to do, but God always wants us to rely upon the strength of the Lord. We just looked at the first church that is mentioned in Revelation this morning in Sunday school, the church at Ephesus, and how the Lord commended them for some good things in their life, and they were faithful followers of the Lord. They were faithful laborers with God. They relied upon the strength of the Lord in the midst of a wicked and heathen, paganistic city to help them spread the gospel and to live a life that shined for Christ. I know in Revelation he kind of rebukes them for their lack of love. They had left their first love, but he commended them for the good things that they were doing. And since the moment of your salvation, God has been doing a good work in your life and my life, but we still live as they did in Ephesus. We still live surrounded by the cares of the world. We still live surrounded by the world's influence, and we have to make sure we don't allow the influence of the world creep into our life and cause us to become weak because we're relying upon ourselves instead of upon the Lord. And again, Paul says, Christ liveth in me. Does he live in you this morning? Are you born again? Are you a child of the King? Do you live in him? Are you allowing your life to abide in his ways? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and to dictate your life? Are you frustrating the grace of God in your life? And I say, are you frustrating the grace of God in your life? Are you seeing prayers answered in your life? Are you seeing God do some things in your life? Are you still having faith that God can, even though you have not seen the result yet? I heard something recently, and I wrote it down but forgot to bring it here, but somebody was asked the question, why do good things happen, or why do bad things happen to good people? As I thought about that and thought about what they were saying and even the response of the religious man, you know, why is it that sometimes it seems like to us, God has not answered our prayer request? Have you ever asked God for strength? And Lord, I need strength. But it seemed like all you got was difficulties. It seemed like God wasn't answering your prayers. Every time you asked for strength, it seemed like more difficulties came. Well, it's in those difficulties that God strengthens us, that we learn to rely upon him. Have you ever asked God to help you to be more loving? And it seems like God just brought more people in your life that seemed like they were a trouble. And it's those very people that God teaches us to love, those that are troubled. There's things that we ask the Lord for, and it seems like when we look through human eyes that we're not getting the answer, but God always answers. He just doesn't answer the way we think it needs to be answered. The question is, I mean, are you asking for God to do something in your life or to help you with something? As Jesus tells us here in John chapter 15, the way you and I will have success in our life is if we will continue to abide in Christ. And we'll see exactly what that means, because, you know, he is the source for everything. He's the source for joy, for peace, for patience. I mean, he's the source for everything that you and I need. And there's fruit that he wants to bear out in our life. And as we look at this morning, Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And he gives the illustration of the vine. The people of the day would understand the grapevines. They would understand the branches coming off the vine, and just, you know, just the common sense. If the branch is not abiding in the vine, well, the branch is not going to bear any fruit. It's going to die. It's going to wither up and be nothing. But as long as the branch is abiding in the vine, it gets the nourishment it needs. Fruit is bared out in that branch. And the Lord wants to bear out so much in my life, in your life. But yet we live in the world that wants to corrupt the branch. Jesus is the source of your strength and my strength. He says again in verse 1, I am the true vine. There are many things in this world that look like and sounds like it would be good to add to my Christian walk, to add to my faith, but appearance can be deceiving. We do still have an adversary that wants to destroy our life. Go to Revelation chapter 2 real quick. Revelation chapter 2. Yeah, just as this is on my mind because we were looking at it in Sunday school, I just want you to see, because sometimes we think as God's people, as a Christian, that, you know what, everything looks fine on the outside. I mean, appearance looks good. I think I'm doing pretty good. But again, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. He looks at the heart. And Jesus notices some things about the believers at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in the midst of his church, in the midst of his people. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Skip down to verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We don't need to tell God what we're doing. He already knows what we're doing. He already sees what we're doing for him. So we don't have to, oh Lord, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He sees it, but he's more concerned about the heart behind what we do. Because in verse number 4, he commends them for what they're doing. They're doing a good work. They're testing the spirits. They're not just believing everything they see or hear. They're testing the spirits by the word of God. But he says in verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He commends them for what they were doing, but their heart was not right with him. They had left their first love. However long you've been saved, we understand that we can find ourselves in a rut in the Christian walk. We can find ourselves just going through the motions because we know what to do. We've learned what to do. We've learned how to act. But yet our heart isn't in it. And if our heart's not in it, we will slowly drift away from the Lord. We'll slowly drift away from trusting him. We'll slowly drift away from believing and following. We find ourselves going through the motion of coming to church and even having our Bible and even praying and doing what we know we're supposed to do. And the Lord knows all that. He sees all that. Again, he's more concerned about the heart. Because I can say I believe Jesus is the source of my strength, but then I never really rely upon him. I'm going to other people. I'm going to other other devices, things I hear, things that, other books, all of that, but yet I'm neglecting the true source of my strength. And that's why he rebukes the church at Ephesus. They were turning the world upside down during their time. I mean, if you study out Ephesus, Ephesus was the devil's home. It was his backyard, just the wickedness that was there. People were getting saved. Lives were being changed drastically and radically being changed. They were burning their curious arts. They were burning their witchcraft books. They were burning everything that was demonic that they had and devilish. They were getting rid of it because they were now a child of the king. They were no longer children of darkness, but children of light. And they were doing a great work, but something happened. Something happened in their life where they kind of got away from it. They kept doing what they were supposed to, but there was no fire. There was no zeal. There wasn't really a motivation for what they were doing or a love for what they were doing. They had lost their first love. And what's the first love? It's Jesus Christ. Never lose sight of your Lord and Savior. We have a relationship. Aren't you glad this morning? It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with a living God who loved you so much and me so much that he willingly robed himself in flesh, willingly lived a sinless life, willingly was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, willingly went to the cross to die, not for his crimes, but for our sin, so that we may have life. He doesn't have to keep working on the relationship. His part, it's always. He doesn't waver in his love. We have to work on our part. We understand human relationships. It takes two to have a relationship. One can do their part. If the other one's not, then that's not much of a relationship. It's the same with our relationship with the Lord. If I don't continue to work on my part, and what I mean by working on my part is keeping my love alive for Him, I can just go through the motions, but there's no love. I mean, I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. I know my home in heaven's not going to be taken away. And the human tendency when we know that nothing's going to change is we just kind of become relaxed and lazy with it. Because, well, it's not going to change. But yet the Lord wants us to abide in Him. There's something to abiding. There's something to allowing and continuing to remind ourselves that the source of my strength is Jesus Christ. He is the vine. John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He's the giver of life. I know I have life. I know my heart's beating because of Him, but you understand, even our spiritual life is only alive because of Christ. We have a strength in our spiritual life that will help us to have that discernment to deny all the wickedness of the world that seems okay, but we're able to deny it because we have such a strong love for the Lord that I don't want anything else. Using marriage as illustration, if I, and sometimes people use the term fall out of love, if I fall out of love with my wife and I stop loving her and stop having compassion for her and stop working our relationship, and I allow some other woman to take all my affections. That's what the world, I mean, God even equates the Israelites turning their back on Him to what? Fornication, adultery. He says, you leave me and you're committing adultery. You're going after some other God who cannot help you. What I'm saying is, if I stop working on my part, that's what happens. We drift away from the one that we once loved. And God wants us to abide in Him. He wants us to continue gathering our strength from the Lord and relying upon Him and resting upon Him and just giving ourselves completely to Him, because not only did He give me my life, my physical life, but He gave me my spiritual life as well. And I'm only as live as much as Christ is in me. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Again, a lot of things go on in your life. A lot of things go on in our community. You and I know where our strength comes from. I don't have to tell you this. You already know your strength is in the Lord. Not everybody knows that. People are looking for a true source that will never deplete. They're looking for a well that will never run dry, and it's found in Jesus Christ. But where is our strength this morning? Your strength cannot be in human relationships. Your strength cannot be in what somebody else says, because either they will or they won't. Even our best intentions at times fail, but Jesus never fails. Jesus is the only source for the branch, and the branch is you. The branch is the child of God. And look, we're the servant. We are the servant to the vine. We serve the vine. We need the vine in our life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 and 3. He goes on to say, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. If they're not bearing fruit, He takes it away. If they are bearing fruit, He purges it. You almost would think, well, if I'm bearing fruit in my life, the Lord would be happy and just, you know, leave me alone. Because you know what? Purging actually hurts. If you've had anything purged in your life, it hurts, right? Sometimes it may hurt physically, but more so it hurts spiritually. But it's for our good. Because God wants more fruit. Like I said earlier, I heard something earlier this religious man was asked. He was asked a question. And his response, you know, was, I asked for strength. God gave me difficulties. Because as you find yourself getting stronger in the Lord wants that strength to even become stronger. As we find ourselves having peace that passes all understanding, God allows things to come in our life to test it, but to strengthen it. He's all about strengthening the fruit in our life. He's all about having us bear more fruit in our life. And it is because he's the vine. He knows what the branch needs. And he is the sustaining of your strength. Again, in verse 2 and 3, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. I mean, Jesus always used illustrations, but he always taught the truth about the illustrations that he used. The purging. Branches not bearing fruit? Well, Luke chapter 8:18 tells us, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Hey, look, how can I and you not bear fruit in our life? By not taking heed to what God moves in our heart about, by not taking heed to what God says. I mean, there's another passage where Jesus tells us how to build our life. And he says there were two builders. One built his life on a rock. Another built his life on the sand. Now, there's nothing wrong with building a house on the sand, but we know if there's no strong foundation, if it's just sand, eventually it's going to crumble. Eventually it's going to come down. But God says, what about the branches that bear fruit? Because he says, if you're not bearing fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more. Again, there is a cleansing. God's always working in our life. God always wants us to go to the next level of our faith. He always wants us to go one step further. God's always wanting us. God's not happy where you are this morning in your spiritual walk. He's not happy with where I'm at. He wants us to go further. He wants us to continue walking with him. He wants us to continue allowing him to work in our life. He wants us to continue relying upon him for all things. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You understand, God has done a lot in your life. God has worked in your life. God's purged a lot from your life, but there's more to be purged. Hopefully he's got all the knowingly sin out of your life. He got the heavy metal music out of my life. He got the cursing out of my life. He got, you know, he just has cleaned me up. But then there's things, there's weights that so easily beset us. There are things that keep hindering us, that keep coming up. It may be doubt. If someone says, Jesus can fill in the blank, and your response is, I hope so. And the response is always, I hope so. But there's no faith behind it. There's more work to be done. There's more work to be done. Because at some point, we should be at a place that I know he can. And I'm just going to trust that he will. Because if our strength is not in the Lord, what do we have? What are we left with? The world says he can't. But what do you say? The world says God is dead. What do you say? The world says Jesus has no power. What do you say? The world should not dictate our faith. Our relationship with Jesus Christ should dictate our faith. He is the sustaining of our faith. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Have you believed a lie? Have you started believing that God's word is truly not true? It's not powerful? It's just a book written by men. We don't have the originals. We don't have this. We don't have that. Yeah, and I didn't see Jesus hanging on the cross either, but I believe that he died for my sins. What is it in your life and my life that we've allowed ourselves to question like the world and we have no faith in it anymore? Jesus said that his word is powerful and his word is truth, and it's his word that sanctifies us. It's the washing of the mind. It's helping us to be reminded, you know what? Jesus is the strength. He is the source of my strength. He's the one I can do all things through because it's him I am relying upon. But Jesus is the source, but also the stability of our strength. Look at verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Can you understand? We have to walk in the ways of the Lord. We truly have to walk in his steps. We truly have to walk hand in hand with him. It's not enough, well, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. But are we walking with him? Are we walking in unison with our Savior? Are we allowing him to lead us? Are we walking in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because abiding in Christ brings stability into our life. The word abide means to remain, to tarry and not depart, to continue or wait. Warren Wiersbe said this in his commentary. He said, what does it mean to abide? It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. Like he says, we can't produce any fruit of our own. It's Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I can't have a peace that passes all understanding if I don't have Christ abiding in me and I'm not abiding in him, resting in that peace and resting in that hope. Never lose sight that God wants to do a great work in you, because he can't do a great work through you if he hasn't done it in you first. How can I help somebody else if I haven't been helped? How can I encourage somebody else if I haven't been encouraged? How can I tell somebody else, just hope in the Lord, if I don't have hope in the Lord? How can I tell somebody else, you know, to rest in the peace of God if on the inside I have no peace? I'm telling them what they need to do, but here I'm struggling with my own peace. I'm frantic. I know God can. I just don't think he will. But for you, he will. You just trust in him. Right? It just doesn't work. I want to give you three ways that we do abide in Christ. Number one, we must be secure in his salvation. Because you know what? Again, secure in his salvation. If I am secure in my salvation in Christ, the rest will follow. I can stand upon the truths of Christ. I can stand upon the truths of his word. And I can follow the Holy Spirit of God faithfully and diligently, allowing myself to be that living sacrifice that says, here am I, Lord. I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I know you can, but Lord, there's a part of me that kind of struggles with, if you will. Help me to get victory over that. Help me to really abide in Christ. But we must be secure in his salvation. Ephesians 1 reminds us, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. If he saved you, he's not going to drop you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. There's something he wants to do in your life. He doesn't save you to set you on a shelf. Now, this past year, I did some canning for the first time. I canned some, which I still have to get into them, but I canned two jars of raspberry jam. I canned some tomatoes, and I've already gotten into them, you know. They look good sitting on the shelf. I mean, I go, man, I remember canning those. I remember the process. It was a long process, but there they are. I can enjoy them anytime. And if I just look down, I can enjoy them anytime. Yep, there they are. 5 years later, I remember. 5 years ago, I canned those. Those are good. I'm glad God doesn't do that with us. He doesn't say, okay, here, I saved Troy. He's on my shelf of all the other ones. No, there's something he wants to do. And not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. But also to glorify himself. If he saved you, man, that's the greatest. That shows his strength. That he had the strength that nobody else has to defeat death and the grave and hell for us and to give us life. That shows his strength. That shows, you know what, I can trust him because he did that for me. But also we must remain in his love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Never forget the love of Christ. You know what it means to abide in somebody's love. Somebody that loves you, somebody that adores you, someone that's always there for you. You know what the feeling is like. You know that they really care and you love being around them. You love them being around. You love it when they come visit. You love when you see them because it's like, I know they love me. It's just a feeling that, you know what, I know they love me. Well, we need to keep that feeling with our Lord. We need to continue to abide in his love. Again, don't think that God hasn't answered your prayer. If you're asking God for strength and all you see is difficulty, well, he's giving you opportunity to exercise the strength that he's given you in Christ. We must be secure in his salvation and we must remain in his love. But we also must remain under his leading. Romans 8:9 reminds us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, but you have the Spirit of Christ. If you're saved this morning, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and that's why Paul said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. You and I have the source of strength in our life. You and I have the source of peace and joy and hope and patience already in us. I don't have to pray for it. I already have it. I just need to yield to it. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to have his proper place in my life. I'm sealed. The Bible says don't quench and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And the way that we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit in our life is by not yielding to the Holy Spirit, by not allowing God to do his work, by not resting and trusting and abiding and living and following the Lord. The stability of our strength is Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the source already within you. You and I just have to yield ourselves to it. We have to let God do the work that he wants to do. Somebody once said that our union with Christ is a living union so we may bear fruit. And that's the thing, that God wants fruit. He wants fruit in our life. Notice what he says. In verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There's nothing you and I can do without Christ. We attempt to do it, but there's more frustration and attempting to do things without Christ than there are with just abiding with him and walking with him and letting him lead us. There's probably not a single person in here that doesn't understand frustration. Lots of things frustrate us, but the Christian life should not frustrate us. It really shouldn't, because it's Christ in me. It's Christ doing the work. We just have to follow and yield and submit and let him do the work and do what he tells us to do. The frustration comes when we resist, when we don't do what the Lord has already told us to do. Then the frustration comes, and it seems like it's a battle, seems like it's a struggle. But truly, the Christian life should not be a struggle, because Jesus is the one that's doing the work. He's the one that wants to do it. He's the only one that can change us into the image that God wants us to have, and that is the image of Christ. That was God's predestined plan for every single person that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is to be transformed into the image of Christ. The peace, the joy, the long-suffering, the meekness. I mean, just the faithfulness that the Lord does in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Again, God's the one doing the work. God has a perfect plan in your life. He knows what needs to be done. He knows the rooms in your temple that need to be scraped and painted. I mean, you think about a building that, you know, has, you know, remodeling projects, you know. What do you do when you find mold in a room? You want to get rid of that, right? Because if you leave it, it takes over. The Lord does the same. He works in our life. He searches the rooms of our heart, carefully looking for anything that could harm us, anything that's not glorifying to Him, anything that can harm us, because we are His building. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's what God wants for you and for me. He wants us to prosper. And we can only prosper if Jesus is our source. In Galatians chapter 5, it names the fruit of the Spirit. Would you examine the fruit of the Spirit this morning in your life and see where maybe you might be lacking some fruit? Or maybe the fruit is not what it should be? The fruit of the Spirit is love. How loving are we towards others that are against us? It's easy to love those that love you. That's easy. But what about those that are against you? Jesus said, love your enemies. The hungry, feed them. They're thirsty, give them drink. It's, you know what? They're against me, but you know what? I love them because Christ loves them and died for them. I can't do that in the flesh. I can only do that through the power of God. To truly love somebody that truly hates me and despises me and persecutes me. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is what God wants to bear out in our life, and we can't bear it out unless we're abiding in the vine. And God wants so much more than just the outward appearance. He wants it truly to be in our heart. Because we can love people on the outward and it not be true on the inside. I can show I have joy on the outside, but on the inside I have no joy. I can be at peace, but on the inside I'm raging, going, if they only knew what I was thinking. If my thoughts could kill. I know if we say if looks could kill, but if my thoughts could kill, they wouldn't know what hit them. Right? I mean, that's the flesh. That's the human, and God wants us to have Christ as the source. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life. He wants us to abide in Christ, so whatever your struggles are, they diminish. They're purged. Because His fruit is taking over. His fruit is more than abiding. His fruit is producing in abundance. When you look at Philippians 4, in verse 13. I just want you to think about what Paul says as he writes this to the church at Philippi. Because sometimes we do have our excuses of why we can't do something. Well, I mean, I'd have more joy if this was gone in my life. I could love people more if they weren't in my life. I could, you know, have some peace if this wasn't gone. I mean, we always have our excuses of why something isn't the way God wants it to be in our life. But what we're reminded by the words in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you were to back up and start in verse number 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's not talking about your favorite book, your favorite TV show, or anything like that. The only thing in this world that matches up to everything in verse 8 is the Word of God. It's the only thing. It's the only book that matches up to it. And the only person that matches up to verse number 8 is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. What is it that torments your mind? What is it that occupies your mind so much that you wish it didn't? It might be that we're not relying more on the source of Christ. We're not relying upon His strength and the stability that He gives in our life. But you know what? Whatever He wants me to do, whatever He wants me to give up, whatever He wants me to let go of, I can do it through Him. I can do it through His strength. I can give my life over to the Lord. I can allow Him to have His way with me. I can walk in peace with people. Sometimes somebody may say, well, they draw the worst out of me. They bring the worst out of me. I mean, I'm doing good. I'm my tongue is good. I'm saying things right, but they draw the worst out of me, and I say things I shouldn't say and act. No, that's what's in the heart. It's not they drew it out. God just is revealing what's deep down in the heart, and it has to be rooted out. He wants to root it out. He wants His fruit to abide in our life and to abound in our life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He is and needs to be our source for everything in our life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You understand, the more that we abide in Christ, the more we allow His work to be done in our life, the more result we'll see, and we'll have the discernment that, you know what, I prayed for strength, He brought me difficulty to help me to rely upon His strength to overcome these difficulties. I ask for certain things, but it seems like I get the opposite, but we look at those, and we need to view those opportunities and those obstacles. Okay, this is how the Lord wants me to grow in this area of my life. I mean, I have often asked the Lord, Lord, if my finances were a lot better, I sure could do a lot more. I could give more to missions. I could do this. And it seems like when I just pray for finances and stuff, it seems like the strain becomes more. wait, Lord, I asked, do you bless my finances? It seems like you're like straining my finances. And what do we learn from that? That we'd be content. Not everybody has financial difficulties. Some people have learned to be wise with their finances. Some people have learned to use their finances for the things of God. And others, God wants to, you know, keep at a certain point in respect to their finances, because He knows if they have more, they won't do what they said that they would do. Again, Jesus is the vine. The question this morning is, how much are we abiding in the vine? He abides in us. That'll never change. But how much are we abiding in him? How much are we walking with him? How much are we relying upon him? How much are we truly allowing him to have control of our life so he can produce the fruit in our life that he wants to produce so we're blessed and helped? If you go ahead and stand, we'll close a word of prayer. But again, abiding in Christ, he's the source. Don't ever have the mindset, I hope so, as though it can't be done. All things are possible. He's the one that can do it.